Guy, are you listening? Are you listening? If you're not listening, then see your life. And of course, I've decided to redirect my podcast to a conversation on Afrobeats, the African genre dominating the global music scene. And as a fan or mshabiki in Swahili, you can expect to hear my take, interviews, and banter on all matters surrounding Afrobeats. And of course, you're listening to the Afro Banter Beats podcast with Bobby Nishimwe. And it is not banter, it is banter. Please, Guy, don't vex me now.
Hey everybody, it's Bobby, and this is my first official video podcast. I've been wanting to do this for a very long time, but you know, the time just was never right, and I was still searching up on how to do this, quite frankly. So I needed to find the right platform to be able to do this. You know, no shade of Zoom, but Zoom just wasn't cutting it out for me. I never liked the quality of how any of the video interviews that I ever did on Zoom look like. So I just like, I'm not going to use that. So I'm not going to put something out there that I think it's extremely low quality. And so I just, you know, so I was still looking for platforms. So I finally found a platform that actually is great for video podcasting. It's called Riverside. They're great at it. And so finally got on the platform. And so now I'm doing video podcasting. I'm recording because obviously I realized that people enjoy to watch podcasts more than they enjoy to just listen to the audio version of it, which I totally understand. Like when I think of the podcast that I listen to on a weekly or daily basis, well, okay, I shouldn't say that because there are podcasts that I listen to on a daily basis. I probably listen to audio version more than I watch the videos. The daily podcasts that I listen to are more of like ones that are bringing me like news. I actually listen to the news like when I'm on the train and I'm going to work, you know, it's about within a 40-minute train ride to work. And so, you know, I put on my headphones and I listen to, you know, these sort of daily news podcasts where, you know, just getting sort of top of the hour, top of the line, or top of the day, I should say, sort of news of just all the things that are going on around the world. And so I like to listen to those, and obviously those, I listen to those in an audio format. But when I think of the ones that I listen to on a weekly basis, right, like once a week or twice a week, those are usually the long form ones. And the long form podcasts, I enjoy watching them. Like that's how I enjoy listening to them, by watching the actual video. And I get it. People love it. They want the content that they're engaging with to be more interactive. And so by doing a video podcast, it's going to be more engaging for you all, and you're probably going to enjoy it a lot more. And so that's why I finally chose to do one. I just was waiting to find the right platform to be able to do it. So finally, I am doing it. So for those of you who are new, this is the Afro Banter Beats podcast, where we talk about all things that have to do with Afrobeats, as well as all other African genres and African music forms, African artists. I bring on individuals who I interview that are either involved within the African music industry, who are artists, who are sort of behind the scenes people more on the business side, who are producers, but as well as people who are just a fan of sort of Afrobeats and African music and who would love to talk about this genre and this topic and this movement of huge pride from the continent. By the continent, by Mama Africa, from the sons and daughters of Mama Africa. When it comes to the sound that we as a continent can produce and the various forms that comes in, obviously Afrobeats being the one that's at the top and the forefront, so Amapiano has sort of swooped in, and which is a conversation I was definitely talking about at some point, hoping to get a friend of mine to interview them because they're really passionate about this conversation, about sort of the idea of Amapianization of Afrobeats. Because when you listen to any Afrobeats song, see, if you listen to a lot of African music, I would say a lot of it, but a good percentage of it have Amapiano beats sort of soaked into it. And that's because Amapiano is just one of those sort of genres and one of those beat forms that it's just so great for dancing. Like, you just want to move. When you hear Amapiano, you want to move. You want to stop everything you're doing and move. Like, your knees start bending. You know, you start doing weird stuff with your arms, you know, and all these, you know. You start doing all of that, you know. You know, it's one of those amazing music forms, obviously, hailing straight from the streets of South Africa, Sanzi, you know, the home of Madiba. And so, obviously, love Amapiano. But yes, hopefully excited to have various interviewees on here and people for me to have a conversation with about so what's going on with African music and Afrobeats. You know, but because of that, I definitely think we should do a little clap for Bobby for actually, hey, stepping out there and doing a video podcast. You know, so I think we should clap it up. Yeah, I think a little clap it up is good. I think I deserve. Yeah. That's what I'm talking about. Let's clap it up. Let's clap it up for Bobby. You know, here's the thing. Snoop Dogg, I don't know, I'm paraphrasing, but you know, Snoop Dogg, he got an award for something. I don't know what the award was for. And when he was there, you know, usually people over there, you know, thank God, thank my mama, thank my daddy, thank you, cousin T, thank you, whoever it is. You know, they thank everybody, right? And he said, first and foremost, I want to thank me. And I think that's a good thing, right? We forget so much about the amount of things that we've done for ourselves and the things that we have gone through, the struggles and the challenges and tribulations that we have overcame to be able to do the things that we're doing. Not that I'm saying like, oh, I have to go through a whole bunch of challenges and struggles and tribulations to be able to do a video podcast. No, it's not difficult really to do one. But to be able to get myself out here and actually do it and be like, yo, dude, you need to get on it. Yeah, bro, stop playing. You know, you need to do this video podcasting thing, and I'm doing it. And so I'm really excited to be able to bring this to you all. And hopefully you all enjoy it. And obviously follow me on social media, Afrobanta Beats Podcast on Instagram. That's really where you want to follow me because that's where I'm going to have most of the content. I'm where I post most of the content. I'm also on Facebook, Afrobanta Beats Podcast. I'm on Twitter, Afrobanta Beats, and TikTok, Afrobanta Beats. I think it's podcast. If you search Afrobanta Beats, bro, you'll find me. Okay, let's just say that. And so the first thing I want to talk about, there was this article that came from The Nation Africa titled "Ridiculous Demands Made by Top Musicians," and it was written by Sinda Matiko, Kenyan, obviously. Matiko, you know, that's a very serious Kenyan East African name. I believe that. Yeah. Very, 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 very strong East African name. And so they talked about three African artists who are sort of at the top of the game. And they talked about sort of the performance fees, the international performance fees that they have, the various things that they request, which that are called writer requests, and things that you request beyond just like the performance fee. So these are things like, oh, I want to stay in this hotel. I want these kind of cars to come and pick me up from the airport to the hotel and from the airport to the concert and back and forth. I want to be fed then. I want towels. I want, you know, this type of drink in my car when I'm there. You know, all these sort of ridiculous, sort of flashy, shiny stuff that, you know, artists always want because they want to look like they somebody, whatever, blase, blase. Hey, it is what it is. Who am I to judge anybody, right? I ain't nobody be judging no one. He talked about how DeVito has his international performance fee between $250,000 to $300,000. DeVito was supposed to do a performance in Nairobi, Kenya, and I think he asked for $300,000. And I think whoever was the promoters at that time actually were not able to finance the $300,000. So DeVito actually ended up canceling his performance in Nairobi because he said, look, if you ain't got the money, you ain't going to see me. You're not getting my presence and my performance if you can't put down $300,000. So that's what they're doing. That's what these African artists are doing. And obviously, we're talking about Burna Boy, the giant of Africa, the African giant, eh? Straight from Lagos, Nigeria, as well as DeVito, obviously. His international performance fee is $500,000. That is $500,000. You heard that correctly. That is not 500,000 naira. That is $500,000 for his international performance fee. I mean, that is astronomical to think about because, look, when you really think about it, if you compare him to a sort of American artist, right, who, you know, the top American artist, he is sort of, where would I put, I would put Burna Boy in terms of the kind of fee, the kind of performance fee that he's, you know, is able to get, the kind of money he's able to make or charge these promoters for international performances. $500,000, he is just, I would put him like just right below the Beyoncé's. That's where he's at. And when I say right below the Beyoncé, I mean, this is, I don't even think Future is making $500,000 on a performance. I don't think he is. Maybe he is. Somebody else can tell me, prove me wrong. And Future is a big artist. Don't get me wrong. Either Future is getting this kind of money, or something around there. So I would say the Burna Boy and Future are probably somewhere close to each other and probably what they're making from shows. And so if that helps you gain an idea of where Burna Boy is at, like, dude is about it, okay? And then obviously you have Wizkid, who's charging $1 million. He's getting paid $1 million for his upcoming performance in Toronto, Canada, where he's going to be headlining the Rolling Loud. Well, they take it in different cities. And Rolling Loud is usually, you know, historically a hip-hop, sort of one of those hip-hop festivals. And Wizkid is going to be headlining one of the day. I think either the second or third day he's going to be headlining it. And he is getting paid $1 million to do that. That is probably like close to Beyonce level when we talk about it, when I'm just trying to think of somebody to compare Wizkid to in the U.S. in terms of, I mean, getting paid $1 million to perform is a ridiculous amount of money for anybody to be getting paid. I mean, you are hitting close to the Taylor Swift sort of fees, you know? That's what we're talking about. And then we have Diamond Platnumz. And obviously, so DaVito, Burna Boy, and Wizkid, all of those were Nigerian artists. See, Nigerians are at the top of the game in terms of African artists, I believe. And then you have Diamond Platnumz, who hails from my home country of birth, Tanzania. Diamond Platnumz, his international performance fee is between 70K to 100K, which, again, that is still a pretty good number to be charging, especially coming from Tanzania, where the music industry is just kind of now really starting to pick up in terms of the commercialization of the music industry in Tanzania. And obviously, the genre there is called Bongo Flava, which is a bit of, if you're listening to it, it's Afro pop. But it has a bit of a Latin vibe to it, sometimes a bit of a, I would say, sort of Arabic, Indian twang to it. Again, because that's the Swahili coast, so we had a lot of trading with sort of Middle East, India, and, you know, just a lot of interactions, historically speaking. So have an influence of different sounds and Bongo Flava. And Diamond Platnumz is the king of Bongo Flavas, no questions asked. He is at the top in terms of East African artists, really killing it in that region, also killing it on the continent, also doing great on a global level. He just has not been able to reach sort of the... He is not on the level of the Burna Boys and the Tito's and sort of the Wizkids. Those the Nigerians are just at their own, at a different level. We just can't compare them to anyone else really on the continent. But it was very interesting, and all of these artists actually require private jet travel. So they request private jets to travel to whatever national show that you want them to perform at. And that's also somewhat of a bit of a, of an interesting thing for me. Obviously, we know a lot of American artists who do this as well, especially a lot of the hip-hop artists always traveling private. You know, here's what I would say. For African artists to be at a place where they are able to become this successful commercially is a testament to where we're at, and it's a testament to the hard work of these artists. It's also a testament to the Africans on the continent and the Africans in the diaspora, in that we're at a point where we are really able to embrace our music form in a way that we weren't able to, you know, if I could say like 15 years ago or more. I would say that sort of the early 2010s is when I would say African music really started to pick up, at least for those of us Africans in the diaspora. Obviously, we always grew up on African music. We always listened to it. But for us to really start listening to it in a way where we're like, wow, okay, see, I'm bumping to this as much as I bump to R&B and hip-hop or whatever. It's the early 2010s. And to see where it's grown from that time, you know, we're talking about P-Square, who are these from Nigeria, and what they were doing back then. They were at the helm of sort of African music, and then to where we are now. But to where we are now, it's truly a testament, and it's something to be proud of. And we should be proud of our artists. So the fact that they're becoming so commercially successful, it's great not only for them, but it's great for their teams. It's great for the young people on the continent of Africa and the various opportunities and employment opportunities that they can get from sort of the music music industry. And who would have thought that the music industry in Africa would be at a point where an African artist could be charging $1 million to perform internationally? I mean, that's an amazing thing to see. So go ahead, you can go ahead and read the article. It goes in more details about sort of the thing, the writer, crazy, ridiculous writer request that they demand. It's called Ridiculous Demands Made by Top African Musicians on the Nation Africa by Sinda Matiko Strait from Kenya, Nairobi. And speaking of African artists and sort of their expansion into sort of international market and their commercialization of African music, I wrote an article. I started, you know, I challenged myself again. I'm telling you, I'm challenging myself. I challenged myself to start writing more articles of just, you know, just blogging about my thoughts and opinions on different things happening with sort of the African music scene and different artists. And so I wrote sort of an article on Medium called Calm Down by Rema Remix with Selena Gomez. And so for those of you who don't know who Rema is, and I hate when I say up and coming, I only say up and coming because he's not too new, like, because even back in like 2019, he had like a hit song, Dume B, which a lot of you who listen to Afrobeats may remember. Dume B, that's a song that I would say kind of set him to where he is now. It was a hit song. And look, we used to run it up in them college parties, all right? Let me tell you something. If anybody knows a brown house at Georgetown University, we used sophomore fall, we would run up Dume B. Dume B by Rema. Anada Banga. Oh, come on, Ma. You're not ready for that. You're not ready. Hey, when I start reminiscing on them college parties, let me tell you something. My liver just says, boy, what was you doing? What was you doing to your liver? Your liver, man. My liver's like, dang, what was you doing to your body, bro? Anyways, Calm Down by Rema. Basically, he's a Nigerian artist, very young, like probably around my age, and he's just been doing extremely well within the past 3 years. Came out this song called Calm Down, which just went nuts. It went crazy. This song had done extremely well, and he hit 100 million streams on Spotify. So it was doing pretty well. It is very popular. It's going crazy on TikTok, going crazy on sort of the streaming platforms. And then Rema announced that he was going to do a remix with Selena Gomez. Now, see, when he said that, I was like, huh? Selena Gomez? I mean, I don't know. I guess in my head, I would have never in a million years imagined Selena Gomez on an African track. Look, I get it. She was Disney Child star, and Disney has done a lot of stuff with regards to Africa, and they're actually doing an expansion of content, animated content creation in Africa called the Waju Project, which you should check it out. I think they're bringing a series on Disney Plus, which I don't have Disney Plus, and I worked at Disney. If anybody wants to be a plug, please plug me. Yeah, we could talk afterwards. You just plug me because I need to watch. I want to watch that. Anyways, I would have never imagined Selena Gomez still on an African song. You could not have convinced me of that in a million years that Selena Gomez is going to be an African song. I would have never believed you. I say, let me tell you something. I would have said, you're telling me a lie. I know the saying goes, I might tell you a joke, but I never tell you a lie. I know that's the saying. But I think you would have, if you had told me Selena was going to be an African song, I would have said, you're telling me a joke and a lie. Mm-hmm. You tell me both things. And so, yeah, he announced this, and I was like, I don't know. I just cannot hear Selena Gomez on this song. You know, Selena Gomez is a person, when she sings, she's a bit whispery at times. It's kind of low, you know. You know, it's kind of a low, her voice is, it's kind of whispery in a way. And I get it. Rema sort of has those vibey songs, but it was just hard for me to see Selena Gomez on this track. To me, artistically speaking, it made absolutely no sense. I would not have chosen her, artistically speaking. And again, these are just my thoughts before I had listened to the track. But then I thought about it. I was like, actually, business-wise, it actually might make sense because Selena Gomez is actually huge. I don't listen to Selena Gomez songs. If you told me to tell you of a Selena Gomez song, I wouldn't know. I wouldn't know what to tell you. I've heard of them, probably listened to them, but I don't listen to them like that. Like, I'll never go and search up Selena Gomez songs. Never in my life will I ever do that. And I don't think I ever have, because I'm not really a Gomez listener like that. I'm not saying it's not my vibe. I just don't be listening to it. Music-wise, I don't be checking for her. But then I realized, I was like, yo, Selena's actually popular. Like, Selena is a Disney childhood star. And I went and looked at her YouTube, and the numbers were ridiculous. Streams, ridiculous. Social media, ridiculous. And I was like, actually, maybe it does make sense on the business side, in which I'll go more in depth about that. And so those were my initial thoughts. I was like, I don't think it's going to work musically speaking, artistically speaking. I don't think it's going to work. But I think on the music, on the business side, I think it actually might be a smart idea. And you know what? I was not wrong. I was actually very correct. So I listened to the song when it came out. And Selena's first verse on that song. Oh, my God. Oh, my God. Was I correct? Honestly, there's certain things that I think should just stay in the bin. As the British say, you should just stay in the bin. It does not need to see the light of day. Just leave it in the bin. And let me tell you something. Selena's first verse on this song, Calm Down with Rema, she should have left that first verse of hers in the bin. Did not need to see the light of day, because it was not good to listen to. I did not enjoy it. I thought it was bad, and it just didn't work. And that's where I was like, wow, a Disney star disappointing me. Come on, Mickey Mouse, you need to get her together, Mickey Mouse. Whatever magic you need to apply, apply that magic, because Selena is vexing me right now, okay? She's really vexing me, because I'm like, yo, what are you doing? What? How you gonna ruin this beautiful song? But Selena did something, y'all. Talked about this in the article. The chorus came around, and Selena Gomez started saying, baby, show me you can calm down. Calm down. And I was like, yeah. Now that's a Disney childhood star. I know. That's a Disney child star. I know. That's what I'm talking about, Selena. Let me tell you something. Selena ate that chorus. Selena left no crumbs with that chorus. Selena meant business with that chorus on Calm Down, all right? And then on top of that, Rama's voice came into the chorus as Selena was singing. And it was just, mwah. It was a je ne sais quoi. Eh? Magnifique. It was just so beautiful. It was amazing to listen to. I was like, oh, this is what I'm talking about. This is it. This is it. Selena, this is what I needed you to do. And you did the song justice with that chorus. I was like, wow. Yeah. Yeah. This is beautiful. This is a match made in heaven. The engineer and the producers, I'm sure they were going crazy in the studio when they mixed that together. When they mixed those voices together, I know they was going crazy on that chorus. And I was like, wow. But then my excitement just waned. It just waned. It just waned. Hey, her second verse. Jesus, my sister in Christ. My sister in Christ, my sister in Jesus. I don't. What shall I do? What shall I do with you, Selena? Selena, why you cause me this headache, my friend? Why do you cause me this? Her second verse was, oh, you know what? Her second verse, it should not have just been left in the bin. It should have been left in the dumpster. In the dumpster. That is how bad it was. I was like, yeah, my sister in Christ, you must not do this to me. Hey, I was just like, wow. Wow, Selena, why must you complicate my hearing like this, eh? Selena Gomez, why must you frustrate my hearing capabilities by singing this very bad verse? Ay, 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 ay. Truly, Selena, those individual verses of yours on this song, Calm Down, you should repent for the confusion you have caused. You should repent for the confusion you have caused, because it was very bad. I'm sorry. Those individual verses, Selena, you just couldn't do it. You just did not measure up. But the chorus, though, you ate the chorus. That's part about this that just confused me. Because I'm like, yo, Selena, you ate the chorus. The chorus was fire. Again, as I said, it was a match made in heaven. But the individual verses, Selena, you just did not measure. I don't know what was going on. I don't know if you had a bad day. I don't know what happened. But it's just like, yo, what are you doing right now? Like, are you serious? You sound to make me sound like I'm from Brooklyn or something. I know I live in Brooklyn, but I'm not from it. But you frustrated me, man. You frustrated me with that, with those individual verses. So musically speaking, it was a 50-50 split for me, right? Chorus wise, beautiful, amazing. They did a great job. Selena's individual verses, nah, I could have done without. I would have been okay without them. So on the business side, which is what I'm talking about, that nonetheless, this was a great business move on Rema's part. Because let's be honest with each other, Selena did not need this. I'm sorry, Selena just didn't need this song. Like, she's fine. She is Selena Gomez, Disney childhood star. Like, once you a Disney childhood star, you a Disney childhood star forever. Like, you good. You can sit and relax. You are good. And not only that, a star breakout Disney childhood star. Then that's what Selena is. Selena is in the top echelon of what we think of like Disney childhood stars. And why this was an amazing business move for Rema, I have multiple reasons. I'll give them to you. First, Rema is thinking about breaking into Selena's demo and fan base, which I would say it's a lot more it expands far wider than that of Rema. Rema is still somewhat new to the game, and he's starting to break out into the global sort of fan base, the global audience. And Selena's already tapped into that. She's been tapped into that since she was a child. And when you think about Selena Gomez, I don't know how old Selena Gomez is, actually. Late 20s, early 30s, I think somewhere there. Selena Gomez's fan base is Gen Z and early millennials. Maybe mid to late millennials, I don't know. But for sure, early, younger millennials and all of Gen Z. That is probably the huge bulk of Selena Gomez's fan base. That is the type of fan base you want to be able to tap into and really hold on to. Because that is a demographic that is tuned in to sort of streaming, right? And that's all artists care about nowadays, their streaming numbers. How can I go viral? How can I go crazy on TikTok? If you want to go crazy on TikTok, you better tap into Gen Z, because Gen Z going to take you up like this, okay? They're going to shoot you up like, shoot. They're going to shoot you up, you know, not that kind of shoot up. I know we live in America, right? I get it, but not that kind, okay? Nope. Nope, we not doing that. I meant like Jeff Bezos type of, you know, shout out, you know, Jeff Bezos, you know, going to the moon. Yeah, or orbit, not the moon. He ain't going to the moon. Orbit, that's what he went to, right? Trying to go to space and stuff. Yeah, Gen Z going to take you up on TikTok. So if you can tap into that demo, which Selena Gomez has that, and it's a global fan base, it's a global demographic of Gen Z and millennials. And if Rema can tap into that, that's amazing for him. It's going to be even much better for his numbers, which are already good numbers, but it's going to take him to a different level. So solely when we're thinking about fan base and demographic and sort of audience that Selena Gomez has already tapped into, which I believe it's probably a mature fan base that she has, because they've been with her for so long since she was on Disney. Right? This is a person you grew up seeing. So they're kind of stoked into your mind. It's that person when they do something, you're going to stop. You're going to think twice about it. You're going to think about it because you're going to go and check it out, because it's somebody who you're so familiar with, and there's a part of your childhood memories. That's a different level of attraction to have to something, right? If something is a part of your childhood memories, your attachment to it is different than if you're just discovering it later on in your years, right? In your later years. So first of all, that's the thing, that fan base demographic that Selena has and Rema wanting to sort of tap into that. Oh, so Selena Gomez is worth around $100 million. So again, as I said, she's good. She's good. Reportedly worth $100 million. Probably worth way more than that. I don't know. So she's good. She didn't need this song. She didn't need to hop on this project, which again shows that she hopped on it. Rema said that he asked her to get on it. And for her to have agreed on it, it's because she really liked it and she wanted to be a part of this. Selena Gomez is also the fifth most followed person on Instagram. In the whole world, fifth most followed, with 344 plus million followers on Instagram. I'm sorry, that is a crazy number to have on Instagram. To have that That is more than Miley Cyrus and a whole bunch of these other people. And my opinion, Miley Cyrus has much better singing capabilities. And probably when I think of like songs, if I had to pick like Disney Childhood Stars whose music I would go back to listen to, you know, something like, you know, Miley Cyrus. I came in like a wrecking ball. You know, that was crazy. Yo, when I was like, was that junior high or high school? One of those around that time. Like that to me, I'm like, yo, I remember that song. That song went crazy. You kidding me? Like, so I don't have that kind of thing when I think of like, you know, Selena Gomez songs wise. But she has 344 million followers on Instagram. That's crazy. Fifth most followed person in the world on Instagram. Yeah. Yeah. Let me tell you something. If they just want to come on my song and say hello, I will take that. If they just want their name to be attached on my song, they don't want to say a single thing on the song, I'll take that. Yeah. If they want to come and have terrible individual verses on my song, yeah. Come over here. You can hop on this song. Because you're the fifth most followed person on Instagram, bro. 347 million followers. That's crazy to fathom, right? When you think about YouTube-wise, she has 30 million YouTube subscribers, and she has multiple, several music videos with over 400 million views each. Over 400 million views. Bro, that's crazy. That's about 500 million views on individual songs. That's Selena Gomez. That's who we're talking about, okay? And this remix, when they put this remix out, it had over 5.7 million streams on Spotify within the first week. And was already in the charts. And currently it has over 42 million streams on Spotify. And it is number 48 on Spotify's weekly top songs globally. And so they also made a music video, which again, remember I told you about how she has 30 million YouTube subscribers and over 5 million views on a whole bunch of different individual songs. Well, about that, here's why you really are able to understand how they thought about this collaboration very well and very strategically. This is Calm Down is Rema's song. He asked Selena Gomez to get on the song. Yet, this project with Selena Gomez, this remix, when they made the music video is currently on Selena Gomez's YouTube channel. That is a strategic move. They did that purposely because Rema, I believe, only has about 2 million YouTube subscribers, where Selena Gomez has 30 million YouTube subscribers, and she's pulling in $400 million. Not $400 million. Got ahead of myself there. She is pulling in 400 million views on individual music videos on YouTube. Yeah. Selena, sure. You want it to go on your YouTube channel? That's fine with me. Let's put that song on your YouTube channel, if you pulling numbers like that. Selena Gomez is that person, okay? That's just the way things are. And so clearly from all of these things I just mentioned, you can see that Selena Gomez and her team, as well as Rema, that they really thought about this very strategically, that business-wise, this makes a lot of sense and makes all of the sense in the world. And that clearly there was a whole bunch of promotion behind this when you look at the graphic that they made for the remix and the music video, which is extremely beautiful. I just go and check it out. And when you think about the promotion and sort of the advertising of the music video as well as the song, like Selena Gomez was really like promoting it and posting it on her socials and all these different places. And you can see that this is something, it's a project that Selena Gomez cared a lot about. And you don't always see that when you have these newer acts, especially coming from the continent, when they collaborate with sort of the bigger artists, especially from the West, sometimes at best, they might get like a retweet or like a repost of the song, but that doesn't always happen. And for Selena to not only do that, but also make a music video and promote this project, it's beautiful to see and it's amazing. And so really, I think that them two coming together was smart. It was amazing. I didn't enjoy the artistic like music output of it 100%. I give Selena's music / artistic contribution to this project 6 out of 10, just to be nice. 6 out of 10, because I really loved the chorus, but I hated her individual verses. Now, moving on from that, we got Asake which I tell you, the Nigerians have been correcting me because I've been saying Asake this whole time. And somebody on TikTok decided to correct me and say, it's not Asake, it's Asake. I was thinking Asake because, you know, like Japanese have, you know, sake. So it is literally like spelled exactly the same way, except Asake obviously has an A at the beginning. So the Nigerians did correct me, including my Nigerian friend said, it's Asake, not Asake. Sorry, I'm not Yoruba, so I can't pronounce everything. Okay, I'm sorry. Sorry. Am I not a true Asake fan because I couldn't pronounce his name properly? No, I am a fan. I'm a true Asake fan. I'm a true fan. I'm sorry, I just couldn't pronounce his name properly. Please forgive me. Anyways, so Asake is having his North American tour and also global tour actually coming up. And I think he just started. I think he just had a concert in Chicago. Again, this is his first tour, and when he announced this tour, Asake didn't have an album out yet. At that point when he announced it, he only had an EP, which featured four songs, which all of those songs were good. His EP was called Olalade Asake, and the four songs he had on there were Trabaye, Sumba, Omoope, featuring Olamide, and Baba God, which I love all of those songs. Like, I love all of those songs. They all did pretty well, but especially Sumba. Sumba did so well that even the giant of Africa, the African giant, Burna Boy, jumped on that song and did a remix, an entire video with Asake. That's how great it was. And Sumba, let me tell you, there is not a single African function you would go to this entire summer where you're not hearing Sumba. You just had to. Like, it's literally when the DJ started their African set, they would always start with Sumba, Sumba la ja ja ja, Sumba, oh yeah, Sumba ja, Sumba, Sumba la ja 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 ja, Sumba. Tell me what you see when you look at me. Sumba la ja ko ma tu body. My problem is I too sabi. Pop my leaf for the poop by two. I got I'm sorry, I don't know Yoruba, man. I'm still learning these things, you know what I mean? I'm from East Africa, eh? I don't know these things. Forgive me for, because I couldn't pronounce Asake's name properly. I kept pronouncing it Asake. Anyways, when he announced his tour, homeboy, the average ticket price for his New York City concert for this tour was $136. Again, I did the calculations. I went through various websites and looked at what they had for tickets and put them together, did some quick calculations. It came up with an average about $136. So it's plus or minus however amount. I don't know what the plus or minus might be, but it's $136 roughly, average ticket price for his upcoming New York City concert at Palladium Times Square, which is also kind of surprising because not even Wizkid has ever performed at Palladium Times Square. When I went to see Wizkid last fall in New York City, it was in Brooklyn, Prospect Park, which, by the way, Prospect Park is quite an interesting place because I've almost had quite an encounter with Jesus in Prospect Park. For those of you who don't understand what that mean by I almost had an encounter with Jesus, I mean, yeah, there was, you know, there was a shooting, yes, a shooting. As in, yeah, Bobby ran so fast, Usain Bolt's record, I think I obliterated it. But half past, I was running away from somebody pointing a gun in the air. I said, yeah, Jesus. And this was not at the Wizkid concert. I just got to clarify. This was just another time when I was at Prospect Park for a function. But anyways, it is very surprising because that venue that he's performing at is about 2,000 people, 2,000 capacity, I should say. But when Rema was just in New York City, he performed at Irving Plaza, which is, I don't know, 1,700 or somewhere less. It's just less than Palladium Times Square venue in terms of capacity wise. So a bit surprising for a new artist to be performing there for their first tour in the U.S. and their first concert in New York City. But also for them to be charging average ticket price of $136. Like, dude, are you kidding me, bro? And this was before he announced his album, his debut album. Again, he only had an EP, and like, at that time, I counted that I estimated he had about 9 hits, like, songs that people actually knew of like that, and they'll average at around 3 minutes, which means that he would have about a 30-minute set. Okay, 30 minutes is not worth $136, especially in the current economy that we are in. Guy, we are literally, like, in a recession. Joe Biden, thank you for forgiving student loans. Like, thank you for that, brother, but we struggling. I ain't gonna hold you. Like, them streets is not cheap, especially New York City. Imagine I can barely afford to walk One, two, three, four steps outside of my New York, out of my Brooklyn apartment. That's how expensive it is. The bodegas are expensive. You know, it's crazy. I'm not from New York City, but from what I've been told about people from New York City, I live in New York City now, so I'm new to the city. But from all my friends, man, they say, yo, when you see the bacon, egg, and cheese, when you see that price going up out of bodegas, that's when you know, yeah, inflation really gone crazy. And so I guess I can assume that because inflation is going crazy, they can just inflate his prices. I'm like, yo, Osaka, you need to chill out, boy. Like, what you doing, my guy? What you doing? Ashake, what are you doing, guy? Like, hey, chill out, brother. Brother. Chill out. Hey, have some mercy on us. Even Jesus himself, he had mercy on us. But you here, you're not having mercy on your own people. Come on, Ashake. We are true fans. Don't underestimate that. But please, you cannot be charging us this kind of ridiculous amount of money. Again, that was for his album. And then he dropped his album. Mr. Money, whatever. This guy, Ashake, is actually very funny. He charges us ridiculous amounts for the tickets for his concert. And then he names his debut album that's gonna precede his tour, Mr. Money with a Vibe. Hey, you Nigerians love money. Truly, my Nigerian friends, my Nigerian people, you love money. Because there's no way, Africans, come on, we have to do better than this. You are charging us premium. And then you go and call your debut album Mr. Money with a Vibe. Oh, so the vibe, we are paying for the vibe. We are paying for the vibe. Okay, as you say. And so when he came out with that album, I ain't gonna hold you. I went and listened to that album as soon as I woke up in the morning, listened to the album as I was going to work, like a 20-minute commute, listened to the entire album, absolutely loved it, no skips, loved every single song. And I was like, yeah, And it was 12 songs, which I love when you see this one. I was telling people, 12 is the perfect number. When you're creating an album, 12 tracks is the perfect number. Stop doing more than 15 songs. I am not going to listen. Even 15 might be pushing it a little bit for me. I'm going to hold you. I don't have that kind of time span, okay? I don't really have it. I'm just being real with you. Stop going over 15. 12 is the perfect number. 12 is beautiful. Mwah. Bellissimo. It is perfect. Magnifique. Huh? Vraiment. Like, that's what I'm asking for. C'est bon. Like, that's good. Yeah, you know, you keep it at 12. I rock with you. You start coming over 12, like, especially you go over 15. Now you, no, I'm not going to listen to all of it. I'm going to be real with you. I'm not going to, if you put more than 15 tracks on your album, do not expect me to listen to it. Because let me tell you something. I'm not being paid to listen to your damn album, okay? I'm sorry. Be real with you. Artists, y'all need to chill out on us, man. It's a weird economic crazy times. People can barely afford to breathe. And you think I got all the time in the world to what? Listen to your 15 plus track album? Ah, come on. Who you think you are? Who you think you are? Stop playing with us. But anyways, Ashake, thank you for only doing 12 songs. I loved every single one of them. I was like, yo, I'm going to go hold you. That $130 might be worth it. That $36 ticket. I'll be worth it. So I'm thinking about it because I'm like, this is so good. This is so good, bro. I think I might go. Hey, need somebody with a vibe. Hey. Zumba. Zumba la ja ja Zumba. Oh yeah, Zumba ja. Zumba. My problem is I do sabio. But my life for the... Ah. Hey, Baba God, Mr. Money. Hey, da, da, da. Yeah. I think I'm gonna pay for it. I think I'm gonna pay and go. And so, yeah, that's what happened. And so, I honestly think, after they released the album, I still think it's a bit ridiculous to be charging that level amount. I mean, because again, I've seen WizKid paying $40, I've seen Fireboy paying $40, I've seen a whole bunch of these artists paying around $40 to go see them. The lowest ticket is like $85 for his New York City concert. That's crazy when you think about it. Especially somebody who's new, who has never done a tour before. Like, you just dropped your first album. I get it, you're hot, you're popping. So look, I will highly think about buying it because, like, I really want to see Ashake, like, in person and hear him performing. And I think at this earlier stage is when I prefer to see the artists before they've gotten extremely big. So I think it might go, but I still think that it should be lower. For somebody who's new, I still think it should be a lot lower. But hey, I guess people are with the vibe, so people gonna pay. And anyways, you should go read that article. Is Asahi crazy for charging New York City concert goers an average ticket price of estimated $136 on Medium's Medium article? Wrote in there, I actually do compare his ticket prices to that of Wizkid, CK, I believe Omalay as well, and Rema. And so write a little bit more in there. So you should go read it. It's posted, like, you can go on my bio on Instagram and you'll find it on there if you go and check it out. Finishing conversation from that. Speaking of Wizkid, he is coming. Hold on. Before, drum roll, Wizkid is coming to the MSG Madison Square Garden in New York City this November. Let me tell you, that is his first time at MSG. Obviously, as you all would know, Burna Boy was the first African artist to sell out the Madison Square Garden. And now Wizkid is going to follow that footstep and come in November. I would say I've seen both of them in concert. I prefer Burna Boy in concert versus Wizkid. I just think Burna Boy is just an amazing, outright amazing performer, whereas Wizkid, performance-wise, I don't know. He's not the greatest to me. Like, I don't think it's worth a lot for me to go see him perform. I probably will end up paying just because it's, like, the Madison Square Garden. Obviously, like, it's an iconic venue, and I want to see him his first time there. I also just want to preface this, but, like, Wizkid has sold out, like very fake venues around the world. He has sold out O2 Arena several times, and I think it was probably, like, one of, if not the first African artist to do that. SG is just him doing it, doing something he's already done, but doing it. And, you know, that's his most fully famous sort of music venue and just venue overall. So excited for that. So you should check that out. If you're in New York, you're around the tri-state area, or hey, you can take a flight and come to see Wizkid at MSG. I know people did that for Burna Boy. Also, beyond that, there's just some songs and albums that I wanted you to check out that are new that just came out. The first one is Diary of a Lover Boy 2 by Tobias That Wave. That is Tobias, TOBIS.WAV, friend of mine, who actually helped me out with some of the audio, some of the background sort of audio that you'd be hearing on this podcast. And so he came out with this album, Diary of a Lover Boy. Really nice. It's sort of a lounge vibes, you know, chill vibes, you know, it's for the babes, for the mandem, for the lover boys and the lover gals, you know what I mean? So go and listen to it. I actually have a review of that as well, a Medium article reviewing that. Also, go listen to this single called Kokose by Toyin Orris. That is KOKOSE by Toyin Orris. Toyin is TOYIN. Last name is Ores, and I'm actually working. We have the interview in the works, and so hopefully we were able to finalize that, and I can post the interview. Looking forward to talking to Oyin. He's straight from Lagos, Nigeria. Kokose is a beautiful song. Like, I believe he has like percussions in there, which is obviously a difficult thing to do, including percussions on any beat, you know, or any song. And so beautiful song. Like, if you want some of those vibes that kind of give you a nostalgia of sort of like the Fela Kuti vibes, old school sort of Afrobeat tied in with the new school Afrobeats, go listen to that song. It's really amazing, really beautiful. Also go listen to Rush by the wonderful, amazing, my wife, my heart, my future, my everything, Ira Star. She has a new single out called Rush, and it is beautiful. It's amazing. It's everything that you could wish from the amazing, beautiful, wonderful, sensational Ira Star. And then, if you have not been listening to this single, actually, to this song, actually, I would be very disappointed in you. And this song is called Overloading by Maven, Ira Star, Crayon, Ladipo, Magix, and Boy Spice. Go and listen to it by Maven, Ira Star, and a whole bunch of other people, because I believe that if you have not been listening to this song, I'm convinced that you had a very boring summer. You had a very, very boring summer. It's okay. You can admit that you had a boring summer. It's fine. It's okay. It's okay to admit that, especially if you're listening to Overloading. And then CK actually just came out with a new album. It's called Sad Romance, which I believe that might be his debut album, but I'm not 100% sure, but I think it is his debut album. It's called Sad Romance. I haven't listened to the entire thing, but I started listening to it. It's sounding really good from the first quick listen that I had. Well, I would definitely write a review on that Medium, as well as record a review podcast on that, so you all can both read, watch, and listen it. So three different formats. Hey, you know, try to be accessible and all. So definitely go listen to that. And again, thank you for listening to Afro Banta Beats with Bobby and Shimwe. And so I think I'm going to create a YouTube channel so I can upload this. But I'm definitely, it's going to be up like my social medias as well as other platforms I can find out. But of course, it's going to be on the streaming platforms as well. So yeah, thank you so much for watching and listening to Afro Banta Beats podcast with Bobby Nishimwe.